Before we turn to Scripture this morning, let us first turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Speak to us, O God, by your word. Open our hearts and our minds, dear God, to receive your word. Shine through to us, O God, in your word, now read and proclaimed, that we may follow in your light. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is the 148th Psalm, located on page 582 of your pew Bible. Let us listen now for God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we are wrapping up this series of the Christmas tour of Gospel Homes, I thought we might go back to Luke just one more time. So our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what is customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, Mary and Joseph returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On Christmas Eve, we arrived back home. For some of us, that home was with family. For others, it was home with friends. For others, it was the comfort of our own home. But wherever we were, for us all, we were truly home. Home that is being together with God. It is wonderful to come home at the holidays, to your community. Mary and Joseph bringing the baby home to be with community. They're recognized by others. For home, after all, really is just a place of belonging, a place where we are known. There is something about this Christian faith of ours that is really all about coming home, to our true home, where God's love for us in Jesus Christ is made known. So we have spent the season touring gospel homes, considering their unique perspectives on the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. Remember, Mark's house had no Christmas decor whatsoever. He was way more focused on Easter rather than Jesus' birth. John's house lit up the night with candles in the windows, describing Christ's coming as light in darkness. Matthew had a huge family reunion with generations of Jesus' kin crowding around telling wild tales of how God unfolds the history of salvation through long years and through flawed and saintly people just like us. And for today, I thought we'd go back and check in at Luke's house, where the singing is still sounding out with joy. And at Luke's house, it most closely resembles our own Christmas celebrations. For after all, friends, it's still Christmas. And back at Luke's place, we are reminded of the huge movements of the divine at work in the story. When Jesus is conceived, the Holy Spirit participates. When he is born, a choir of angels announces it. And then deep into chapter 2 in our text today, it's clear that even Jesus needs a human home. Everything becomes a little more familiar, regular, traditional, and also still so extraordinary. Jesus' parents bring him to the temple to have him consecrated to God as their firstborn, affirmed, acknowledged as part of God's community, for no family can fully thrive on its own, not even the family of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, a family that God directly ordained and arranged, a family that God seems already to have sustained against all odds. For every child, even the Christ child, must be brought into community in order to truly thrive. And on that day, there likely would have been other many babies being brought to the temple. There would have been many different parents together bringing their babies and their offerings into the temple. And there would have been nothing special on the outside about what Mary or Joseph or Jesus looked like. For what we know about a baby is they all kind of look alike. Just like in our children's reflection today, we acknowledge the potential and the ordinariness of a child, the hopes and the dreams bundled up together. Yet both Simeon and Anna, these people of faith and wisdom, see so much more. When they look upon the baby Jesus, they see the man Jesus is going to become. Time for them becomes fluid. They can see past, present, and future all at once. And we know when those moments happen, how extra special they are, how rare they are. As parents and members of the family of faith, we try all the time to imagine what these children might grow up to become. knowing that children constantly surprise us with changes we couldn't possibly imagine. We cannot predict the joys or the gifts or the griefs of anyone more with more certainty than any other. When I think of this text, I always think of how much I love Graduate Recognition Sunday here in this place, where our graduates stand on the steps of this church and we celebrate with them, looking back at their moments of life growing up as part of this family and all the promise and potential they hold for their future. We get to look at pictures and share stories and get to rise as we remember all of the ways that we have been there as part of their markers of faith and time here together. It's an incredible testament to the amazing work that God has been busy with throughout their lives, bringing them to that one moment, and all the promise and assurance that we have to send them on. As Simeon says, "For we have seen God's salvation prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." For God's glory shines bright. And so how do we respond? Praise. Praise is abundant in the psalmist's hymn. Praise from Anna and Simeon. We have spent weeks preparing and waiting and watching, and now it breaks forth into the season full of praise. Here in this story, we see God's hopes and dreams for each of us. Just as each child is brought to the temple, just as we continue to enter this family by the gifts of baptism, we acknowledge together the hope and promise of our future beyond anything we can imagine for ourselves. We often talk about how God has hopes and dreams for us when we are small. There seems to be limitless potential in a young life, but here it is clear that God has plans for all of us. Simeon and Anna were of great age, yes, and from the sounds of it, they have done wonderful things in the community all their lives. And yet, God still has work for them to do. Their dedication and devotion to God was overwhelming. Upon seeing this Christ child, they wept and prayed and praised aloud, rejoicing for the promise fulfilled in the coming of this baby. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Praising, singing, rejoicing, joyfully. And in fact, maybe it really is the only response. For really, you tell me, what is left? There are no more presents to buy, I hope. No more meals to make, no more gifts to wrap. And maybe you're just exhausted. And all that's left with what you have is the response of praise. Jesus is presented at the temple, and Simeon and Anna respond. They are our post-Christmas models, when maybe we have nothing left. Nothing left to keep us busy, nothing left to say. All that's left is praise, and maybe all we need, all God wants, is praise. Because really, when we do stop and consider, that's all that God wants. All that God needs is for us to simply say, "Wow, God, I don't know what else to say. I don't know that I can find the right words. So maybe I'll just sing your praise." And that's exactly what benedictions and blessings like Simeon's do. They just sing. They praise. There's no motive, no agenda, no plan. They just live in that moment. Be in that moment. Praise the moment that God shows up and showed up And I am convinced we don't do that enough. Simply praise our God, whose power is known and experienced in the vulnerability of humanity, whose love is felt even in pain and loss, whose hope knows no limits. For we are called to give praise in the face of power, praise so as to offer resistance to that which would instill fear instead of trust, to praise as an alternative perspective, choosing love and inclusion and compassion over hatred and exclusion and heartlessness. We give praise to affirm our belief that the world can be different, has to be different, and that difference is known in the bringing of kingdom of God here and now. We desperately need Anna and Simeon's example this week. We need them to help us utter the praise of God that simultaneously responds to God's presence and the resistance of the presence of all else. We need them to model the reaction to the convergence of waiting in fulfillment. We need them to give us courage to trust in our God, who is indeed present and powerful when the world in which we live wants to suggest otherwise. So, family of faith, on this last day of the year, let us look forward to the new. Still in the glow of the Christmas season, practicing praise. Let us use Anna and Simeon's vision to look out for the Christ child in our midst. For when we choose to see the children of God around us as children of God, full of potential and promise, what a world we would live in. So let us work to bring the kingdom of God here, praising for all that God has done, for all that God promises to do, remembering that we are loved and claimed. And let us praise God for that gift. Amen.
Thank you.
as we are studying, let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the opening of our hymnal on page 35. Let us say what it is we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us pray. God of wisdom and truth, on this New Year's Eve, we cannot help but look back while also looking forward. During this past year, we experienced joy and we experienced sorrow. We felt blessed and we felt challenged. Here in this place, we are reminded that you are present through it all. We are reminded that we are never alone. We are reminded that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So on this New Year's Eve, we pause now in silence and reflect on the year that has passed. We remember the people and the moments we are most thankful for. We look back with fondness on times spent with family and friends and loved ones. We recall the moments we felt most alive. We are grateful, O God, that you were with us in those times. Yet we also remember the pains and the sorrows of the past year. We recall those moments when we felt afraid or sad or lonely, when we were hurt and when we caused hurt to others, those moments when we did not love others as you have loved us. We are grateful, O God, that you were with us in those times too. Looking forward to the year ahead, O God, we consider the words of your Son, who said, "See, I am making all things new." We await your promise of a new humanity, a humanity without hostility, in which all are reconciled to you and to one another. We await your promise of a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. And we give thanks for your new covenant of grace, mediated by your Son and sealed in his precious blood. God, we pray for those who hope that 2018 will be a year of respite from illness and addiction, from hunger and from war, from injustice and oppression. We pray especially for the people of Iraq and Syria, Yemen and Afghanistan, Iran and North Korea, that they may experience your peace and comfort and love. We pray for Betty Orr and Sally Brown and their families, and we pray for Rachel Pretty on the death of her sister Alice. We pray for our leaders at every level of government, that they remember the Sermon on the Mount and strive to provide food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, justice for the oppressed, and welcome for the stranger. O God, we give thanks that you are with us always. Grant us grace and courage to live faithfully in this imperfect world. Remind us always of the promise of your kingdom, emerging around us and through us. It is for this kingdom that we now pray, using the words Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All that we have and all that we are is a gift from God. So let us return a portion of what we have back to God.